The believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel invite you to listen to a gospel message by one of their pastors, Joe Galusik and Walter Pendleton. This week's message is from Joe Galusik. Visit us on the web at www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Men preach what they think is best. There is nothing to preach better than or other than Jesus Christ the Lord. Now this week's message.
I want to continue on today speaking about the Passover, and specifically the Lord's Passover. And I had 6 points that I was bringing up from Exodus chapter 12. They are Israel's position, Israel's sacrifice, Israel's sustenance, Israel's manner, Israel's separation, and Israel's unity. The other messages are available on our website. If you like what you hear, or if you don't like what you hear and you want to hear more, they should be on the sgchapel.com. That's Sovereign Grace Chapel, SG. And go under, I think, messages and radio messages. It might possibly be under audio messages and then radio messages. Anyhow, let's continue on. What I want to look at today is Israel's separation. This is shown starting in Genesis 1. But okay, we're not going quite back that far. But this is shown here in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 12. We've already talked about the lamb being killed by the congregation. The lamb, singular, always spoken of in Exodus chapter 12, as singular, as one lamb, even though it was more than one lamb, because it was a lamb for each house. It was a lamb, the lamb, and your lamb. Now, we also spoke about the blood being shed and the blood being put upon the doorposts. And then it was put upon the doorposts of the house wherein they were to eat the Passover lamb. The lamb was consumed that night with their loins girded, their shoes on, and their staff in their hand, and it was to be eaten in haste. Why? It is the Lord's Passover. It's not the Jews' Passover. It's not the church's Passover. It's not the world's Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. That's the important part. That's what this is called. That's what this is known as. That's what this is. This is the Lord's Passover. It's not man's Passover. It's not angels' Passover. It's the Lord's Passover. The Lord God Almighty is always very, very specific in his commands and in his feasts and in his sacrifices. And he wants you to know whose Passover this is. It ain't yours. It's his. It's the Lord's Passover. Verse 12 says, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." Here we see the separation of Israel again. But here we see it definitely in the Lord's Passover. He said he's going to pass through the land of Egypt this night, and he's going to smite the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both of man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Israel is separate from Egypt. Who's going to do this? Who claims credit for this night of death in Egypt? I, the Lord. Now, the Lord told Moses to tell Pharaoh, this is back in Exodus 8 and verse 23, before this, he said to tell him, and I will put a division between my people and thy people, between the people of God, the Lord's people, and Pharaoh's people. God did it. God did it. There was a separation of the children of Israel from the land of Egypt, from the people of Egypt, and from Pharaoh. There is a separation of the people of God. And I, the Lord, will make it. There's nothing different naturally between any men. And that goes for Israel, that goes for Egypt, that goes for American, that goes for Russian, Chinese, whatever. As far as man in his natural state, there is no difference. However, the Lord said, I will make a difference. I will make a difference. And guess what? When the Lord makes a difference, there is a difference. And when he makes a difference, there is a separation. And that's what I'm saying here. I will pass through. He said, I'm going to smite all the firstborn, man or beast, man and beast. And I will move against the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgment. I, the Lord. He put the division there. And guess what? There's a division. And he tells it how it's shown. How is it shown? Verse 13. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. Hear me very carefully. The blood is the token. The blood is the token upon the houses where ye are. Now, what does it mean by token? It's a flag, literally, a beacon, a sign, a signal, and it's the blood that is the token. Now, I don't want to denigrate anything. I don't want to cut anything short, but I do want to make this point perfectly clear, because this is what the Lord told Moses. The lamb is not the token, though necessary. The roast with fire is not the token, though necessary. Eating the lamb is not the token. It's not the sign. It's not the signal. It's not the beacon. The blood is the beacon. Remember that. The spotless life. Now, again, Christ is our Passover. Christ, our Passover, is sacrifice for us. Those are the words of the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Christ is our Passover. Christ is the Passover. He is what all this looks toward. Okay? Christ's spotless, perfect, sinless life is not the token, is not the signal, is not the mark, is not the beacon. The blood is the beacon. Remember that. It is not by his sinless life, perfect before the Father, anointed by the Holy Spirit, by which we are healed. Isaiah wrote it. It's by his stripes we are healed. He bore the sins of many in his body on the tree. His blood was shed, and without shedding of blood, there is no remission. The blood is the token. His life, perfect. He could have came down and lived his perfect life and gone right back up without his blood being shed, without the sin debt being paid, without the stripes with which we are healed. There is no Passover. The Passover was because of the blood. He's going to tell us that quite plainly here. Believers are justified by the blood of Christ. Believers are redeemed. His people are redeemed by his precious blood. His blood. And the blood is the token. What else did the Lord say here? Well, here it is. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. Here's the Passover. You have the Passover because of the blood. The blood's the token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. Notice very carefully, very succinctly, and don't ever forget this. It's when the Lord sees the blood, he will pass over. Those in the house did not see the blood. The Egyptians did not see the blood. And can I say this? Can I say it? It didn't matter if those in the house saw the blood or not. It's when the Lord sees the blood, I will pass over you. When the Lord sees the blood, it doesn't matter if I personally pass over you. That's not going to help you. And it doesn't count if you pass over me, because it doesn't matter what humans see or don't see. In this case, in this Passover, what we are seeing here is a picture of the justification, of the redemption, of the blood, the shed blood of the Lamb for the people of God. This was all done in reality to answer to what this was foreshadowing in Christ's death upon the cross. His blood being shed, the atonement being made, the redemption being made. What part did we have in that? We had none. But because of that blood, because of his blood, the Lord has promised he will pass over us. How can he do that being a just God? How can he do that being a righteous, holy God? His punishment for sin, for our sins, was laid upon the Son. He bore in his body on the tree the sins of his people. His blood was shed for those sins, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And cursed is everyone that hangeth upon a tree. Our Lord was cursed for his people. Our Lord's blood was shed for his people. And when I see that blood, when the Lord sees that blood, I will pass over you. I will pass over you. That's the meaning of the Passover. It is the Lord's Passover. The Lord's Passover. The only thing that matters is that the Lord sees the blood. And it was when the Lord saw the blood that he passed over. The plague of death of the firstborn was not upon those who were in the house. They had the blood upon the doorpost. It didn't matter how neat or how messy that blood was upon the doorpost, as long as the Lord saw the blood. He did smite the land of Egypt, and he smote it fierce. The plague of death the death of the firstborn was not upon those in Israel, but it was upon those in the land of Egypt. He smote the land of Egypt, and he was against all the gods of Egypt. Now, do I believe in other gods? No. But there were those who worshiped the gods of Egypt. There were those who said the gods of Egypt were real. And the Lord addressed them as such. I'm against anything else except myself and my people. I am the Lord. There is none else. Every house, in every house where there was no blood on the doorpost, it didn't matter if it was an Israelite house, if it was one of the congregation of Israel, if there was no blood on the doorpost, the Lord did not pass over, and death was upon that house. You see what we're saying here? Outside of the blood of Christ, there is nothing but death. 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 Outside of Christ, there is nothing. There is nothing. In Christ is everything. Outside of Christ is death. When I see the blood, I will pass over you. This is not about the actions of men, even though there were actions of men in this story, in this account, in this event that actually happened. This is about the Lord's Passover. It's His work. It's exactly what He told them to do. He made sure they did it, and He passed over them. This happened in reality. There's a separation between the people of God and the people of Egypt. There's a separation between the people of God and those who are not the people of God. There always has been. This happened thousands of years ago. You know, I am the Lord, I change not. Have you ever read that before? Do you realize what that actually means? If He's the Lord and He changes not, if the Lord is for you, He has always been for you. And if the Lord is against you, He has always been against you. I know some people don't like to hear that. They have a tendency to call that what they use the term hyper-Calvinism. Go ahead and use your terms all you want. All I know is this. I am the Lord. I change not. And I will put a difference, make a difference. I will make the difference. I will create the difference between thy people and my people, between my people and thy people. I'll make it. It will be there. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, the last thing I'm going to bring up is Israel's unity. We have a separation from the world, but we have the unity of the congregation of Israel. You understand? The Lord said, they're my people. One people, the people of God. In this case, He's using all the congregation of Israel. Verse 14 says, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. forever. This is a memorial for the congregation of Israel. This shows the unity of the congregation. And he does say, what is it? You will keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. Well, what does he mean by that ordinance? Well, in Exodus chapter 12 and verse 43, and the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. Singular. Now, there's the whole thing he will go into. Unleavened bread, have it out for 7 days. No leavened bread, no leaven in the house. You know, and leaven is a type of evil, a type of sin. That's the way it's represented. So we don't want any sin in the house. We want nothing but unleavened bread. But here's the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof. So in this, we have the separation and we have the unity together. This is the ordinance of the Passover. No strangers shall eat thereof. Now this, they are not recreating the Passover. There's only one Passover, one true Passover. That's the one that takes place at the beginning here in the middle of Exodus chapter 12, when they actually put the blood on the doorpost and the Lord passed over them. That's a singular event. This is a memorial. This is a feast. And you're going to keep it by the ordinance. And here's the ordinance. There shall no stranger eat thereof. Not one stranger shall eat thereof. There is a way given here that says that they can eat the Passover. Verse 44. But every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. A foreigner and a hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee and will keep the Passover, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it. And he shall be as one that is born in the land. For no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. The only way to eat the Passover, this is the memorial, the feast, afterwards, the only way is to join the congregation of Israel. The only way is to join with the people of God. There are those who want Christ, but they want to add him to what they already have. They'd love to participate in the blessings, but they don't want to join with the people of God. Well, this is the ordinance of the Passover. This is the ordinance, if you wish to put it this way, this is the ordinance of justification. This is the ordinance of redemption. It's done for one people. It's done for one people. The congregation of Israel. That's the type here. Totally separated from Egypt, totally separated from any other country, totally separated from anybody else in the world. The only way to eat the Passover, even as a memorial and as a feast, to celebrate the deliverance out of Egypt, is to be circumcised, is to join yourself with the people of God. there is a people of God. Some people don't want it, don't want to join. I was that way. I used to say it of myself. And among other things, I can still say it. I am not a joiner. I never have been. But I love being joined with believers now. I love to hear about my Lord Jesus Christ. Does it thrill you? Do you want to know about the redemption which is in Christ Jesus? Do you want to know about his precious blood that was shed? And it actually really was shed. He died upon the tree. His blood was shed. And he presented it as an offering to the Father, as the work of the high priest and the sacrifice all in one. The perfect sacrifice for sin. And the Father said, I accept. And I will pass over all of those for whom this blood, the blood of my Son, was shed. Our gospel, Paul said, our preaching, the good news, is to some the savor of life unto life. To others, it's the savor of death unto death. Do you understand the difference? Most people don't. And most people won't. But I hope you do. I hope the gospel is the savor of life unto life, the Passover. And God has passed over you. Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. Thank you.
This broadcast is supported by the believers who gather at Sovereign Grace Chapel. We meet every Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Sovereign Grace Chapel is located in Crow, West Virginia, just off Country Club Drive on Annabelle Lane, just north of Little Beaver State Park. Our web address is www.sgchapel.com. Again, that's www.sgchapel.com. Our mailing address is Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15 in Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Again, that's Sovereign Grace Chapel, P.O. Box 15, Kellysville, West Virginia, 24732. Come hear Christ preached.